Well, earlier this week, President Donald Trump said stronger law enforcement response is necessary to combat the opioid epidemic in America, but he's not ready to declare a national emergency. As deaths and overdoses continue, we've heard stories of accidental exposure, first responders, and even children suffering after just touching opioids, especially the synthetic fentanyl, which is 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine. But what does the science say? Well, joining us now is Casey Ross, correspondent for our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication. He's been fact-checking claims about accidental exposure, and he joins us. And Casey, to start off with, you looked at a position paper from the American College of Medical Toxicology. What were their findings about whether first responders are really suffering from opioid toxicity?
Well, they found that they're not suffering from opioid toxicity. The report in which toxicologists reviewed cases reported in the media across the U.S. and Canada found that none of those cases is consistent with the symptoms of opioid toxicity. In many of these cases, officers are reporting symptoms such as dizziness or other nondescript symptoms that don't have to do with opioid poisoning. In some cases, it's even been reported that officers are suffering from heart palpitations or racing heart rate, which is actually the opposite of what you'd experience if you were poisoned by opioids. If anything, your heart rate and your breathing would slow down. So they're not questioning the truthfulness of the officers, but they are questioning whether what they're experiencing is actually opioid toxicity.
Okay, so let's dig into this a little bit more, because are we talking about exposure via touching a substance, or perhaps accidentally, you know, inhaling it, dust form?
Well, the cases that are being reported report both, but let's take the touching example first. Merely touching fentanyl or being in proximity to it is not enough to cause poisoning. To have an effect, opioids have to make it into your bloodstream, and it can't do that just by touching skin or sitting on top of it. It needs moisture in order to permeate the skin, which is why in clinical care, clinicians use fentanyl patches to apply fentanyl through a liquid into the body. Inhalation is a different level of risk. If one were to inhale or ingest fentanyl or another opioid, it then comes in contact with their mucous membranes, which facilitates its arrival in the bloodstream. That's when it becomes dangerous. Officers or others who come in contact with these substances have to be concerned about inhaling it. If it's suspected that a large amount of fentanyl is dispersed in an enclosed space, for example, one might wear a respirator or a mask to prevent inhalation from happening.
I see. So there are concerns with that kind of exposure then. Okay. Well, I mean, the idea or the concept that I don't know what to call it, stray opioids or sort of fentanyl in a home or a location where first responders are going to, that they could come in contact with it and perhaps, you know, risk near fatal results, is it's got to be worrisome to people. Because, I mean, there's first responders and there's also just family members and other people in the community. I mean, what are the potential downsides for that kind of fear and concern, though?
Well, I think the downside is that, you know, decisions are always better when they're made based on facts and not fear. An undue fear of opioid exposure might cause a first responder to delay life-saving care if, for example, they come across somebody who's overdosing and they say, boy, this person's overdosing in a vehicle. I better not help them right away or go in and try to save their life because I'm concerned about exposure. So I've got to do X, Y, and Z step first. Put on these gloves, put on this suit, do what I need to do. You can understand needing to make those precautions, but if you're making them in an unnecessary way, then it unnecessarily compromises a person's life potentially. Or, you know, if you're an officer at a crime scene and you're unduly afraid of fentanyl or another opioid that might be present, then you could be distracted from a more proximate risk, like a suspect. The point is, I think, that officers and other first responders need to take appropriate precautions but not overreact or take unnecessary steps that interfere with doing their jobs.
Mm. Well, before I let you go, I should ask you about the fact that this week President Trump has actually decided to hold off on declaring a national emergency on opioid use and abuse. I mean, what impact could that have on first responders? You've been talking about police officers, but of course paramedics, et cetera, as well, who are potentially being exposed to these highly powerful substances.
Yeah, well, typically a state of emergency speeds up the provision of resources to people on the front lines who are dealing with a crisis, and it would untie states' hands, make it easier for them to provide the resources that officers or other first responders say they need. So that could slow down the effort to get that aid into the hands of the people that need it. That said, President Trump and his administration also says that it has the resources without that declaration to help, and they say they'll do so. So we'll have to see.
Hmm. Well, Casey Ross is a correspondent with our partners at STAT. Thank you, Casey.
My pleasure.